and welcome. This is Trials and Tribulations. I'm Phil Airy, and I've got my two cohorts.
Sarah Owen Hughes.
And me, Faith Douglas.
This gentleman doesn't really need much of an introduction. I think you probably all know him already. But Jonathan is a phenomenal celebrity, innovative, demonstrative florist and floral artist. And I found out that his love of horticulture and everything floral started when he was 8. So wow. I think we need to find out a little bit more about that and hopefully find a little bit more about the man behind the flowers. So a very, very warm Harrogate welcome to Jonathan Mosley, our celebrity florist.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
So firstly, Jonathan, I need your shoes, which are amazing if you can't see them. They're absolutely stunning. But tell me, what happened at 8? What was your moment?
I got these shoes. At eight, I started. My mum had my mum's friend had a flower shop, basically. She was a lady who had retired and, you know, decided, like many people, she wanted a second career. So she opened a flower shop in a neighbouring village. And at 8, I would go along to this flower shop and be absolutely transfixed, transformed and hypnotised, really, by the power of flowers and just that amazing world that creative floristry brings.
Fantastic. And you then got your own glasshouse. You started growing, didn't you?
Yeah, now sort of, I feel like my life's been documented so
life.
Much here.
This is your
but
life.
Yeah, at 11, I was given a greenhouse. And I was given a greenhouse for my 11th birthday, not because I'm a privileged silver spoon child, working class child. My granddad, who was a miner, moved from his council house to a council bungalow, leaving an enormous garden behind. And in those days, you know, council houses had massive gardens, yeah. And it was a huge garden. And he had three big greenhouses at the bottom of his garden. And as an only grandchild, I was given a little bit of one of these greenhouses. So when he moved from this house, I was absolutely mortified at 11 because there was my own bit of garden that I created there, this greenhouse, and, you know, the thought of losing it all. So my father and my mum and grandparents for my 11th birthday got me an 8x6 greenhouse, which was life-changing.
Oh, perfect. And what was the first thing you sowed in there?
The first thing I sowed, I was the bedding plant king.
Yeah.
These days I'd be the bedding plant queen. But in those days I was the bedding plant king and I grew loads and loads of bedding plants. So it would be things like tajits, nemesia, petunia, busy lizzies, impatience, and I grew with a voracious appetite, and I had a paraffin stove, so I was the kid at school who stinked of paraffin permanently. I was odd on many levels. And actually, you know, this is something I talk about quite a lot when I go into horticultural colleges now and floristry colleges, that, you know, if you've got something and you're interested and you're passionate and you're not from a privileged background, you can make a success of it. And I actually grew bedding plants and produced a little bedding plant catalogue and took them around the village. And my mum and dad took it around the friends and people placed orders and I would pick out and do those plants. Then I started supplying the local village shop. And by the age of 17, I'd saved up enough money to buy my first car from growing bedding plants. So.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? And it is such an accessible industry as well. You don't have to have a high-end qualification. You just need a bit of a passion. And that's one of the things we're finding today is the people we're talking about and talking to have just found something and had a spark and met the right person at the right time who's helped to kindle that flame.
Yeah, definitely.
And you know, where's it taking you? It's taken you around the world, hasn't it?
Yes, and I've been very lucky. I've had an amazing career. I've had loads of opportunities. There's not always been high notes, you know, there's been low notes along that way. It's not an easy ride. And as you say, you know, you can attain qualifications in a subject, but I do think if you have a passion and sort of an aptitude for something, to run with that and to go with that. And I would controversially say sometimes I think we live in an overqualified world.
Yeah, I agree.
Where qualifications don't count for absolutely everything. You can get a degree in floristry now. I would arguably say, do you need a degree in floristry? You know, I've not got a degree in floristry. It's okay if you want to do that. That's absolutely fine. But I think we over-academise, is that a word?
Yeah, it is now.
It is now, today. We over-academise sometimes our world, and I think that makes it prohibitive to people. And I think sometimes you've just got to get out there and do it and learn yourself and learn along that route. And, you know, that's what I've done, really.
And generally as well, gardeners and horticulturists and florists as well are very generous with their knowledge, whether it's they've given you a cutting of something, everyone's nodding, they give you a cutting, they give you a packet of seeds, they give you something that's really infested with a pest and go, here's this for your garden, and you spend 6 years trying to get rid of it. But generally, if you came here as a youngster and said, I'm passionate about floristry, there would be 50, 100 people here saying, we're here, we want to help.
Yeah, it's a supportive world.
It's a really supportive, it's a small world, but
is,
very supportive.
Yeah. I think the nice thing about the horticultural world is it is a giving world. It's a world where you want to see people succeed. But I think it's a real world, and it's a world where you need to make people realise it's not all about this sort of celebrity status or having these amazing opportunities. You know, there's a hard road to navigate before you get there. And not everybody does get there, and that's the rough reality of it. But you know, sometimes people say to me when I'm prepping for a show or doing something, and they'll see me, you know, covered in buckets and, you know, dirty hands and doing, they'll say, oh, do you still do all that yourself? Yeah. And I look at them gone out and say, well, who's going to do it for me?
I want to do it myself.
That's what makes me me.
Yeah,
and the more you handle stuff and the more you touch stuff, the more you understand it.
Yeah.
And I have to say, and I really do believe this, to be a good florist, I do think you need to have an understanding of a garden.
Yeah.
And my route is a garden first, because I've always grown. And then, to me, I maximise that pleasure by what I grow, I bring indoors.
Yeah.
And I celebrate that. And it's a symbiotic relationship between those two, and I can't divorce those two things.
Yeah.
And when I see people or meet people who are florists, and they'll say, oh, I have artificial grass and, you know, I don't do gardening. I'm like, well, how can you do floristry then?
Yeah.
Because to me, the two just go hand in hand. It's interlinked.
You need to grow and then show,
So what is your garden like? Tell us about your...
Ooh, what is my garden like? My garden is... I grow on just over a third of an acre.
Yeah.
It's a working garden. Obviously. It's not a pretty garden that is sort of manicured and neat. There's dandelions, there's nettles growing there because I never get on top of weeding. I don't get too perplexed about it. But I only grow things that I can use, because it has to be a shrub or a flower or a plant that I can do something with. I never have enough time in the garden. My garden is a challenge and sometimes a slight worry because I spend weeks now away from home. Although I sort of drip back into home, but I'm getting ready for my next event. So the sort of two lockdown summers were almost like an epiphany for me because it was a chance to achieve jobs back in your garden and do things. And it was that first time actually for many, many years that I thought, I'm on top of this.
Yeah.
You know, I've controlled it. I've done it. Because normally I'm on catch up and I see all those plants waiting to be planted and those seeds waiting to be pricked out and I think, when is that going to get done?
Yeah, and it's been really lovely actually because on your social media over the past 2 years you have been bringing your plants in from the garden and celebrating them.
Yes,
celebrating the joy of a bud vase with one flower in it or a handful of what we sometimes ignore garden flowers.
Definitely.
Don't we? We perceive that floristry is these perfect long-stemmed things that have been shipped in from the Netherlands for the most part.
Yes.
And actually, you've got some silver birch over
there.
Yeah,
I will just do something.
Yeah, well,
because I've carried these all the way down.
Have.
So I'm going to do something with them.
I left my violin behind, but do you? but that's the joy, is the touching and the handling,
it's that touching
isn't
and
it?
Handling.
And as Faith... We'll say it releases endorphins. It makes you feel better about yourself.
It does,
actually, handling plants.
It is mindful activity.
Same as I think it's now something my lovely colleagues here will sort of agree with. You know, it's now become a much sort of, can I cut on this floor or not? Will you hate it?
Oh, don't worry. It's Nick's rug. I don't mind.
Oh, it's all right. Yeah, I'll tread it in.
Everything
then,
else is from our houses, but it's Nick's rug.
Yeah, I think mindfulness. You know, it's that funny word that gets thrown about all over the place, isn't it? And a lot of people sort of. It's slightly, mindfulness, a bit airy-fairy, what's it about? But to be honest, when I'm picking things and doing things, I'm in my own little world. And I can be doing a demonstration to, you know, an audience of a couple of thousand people. But although I know you're here and I'm chatting to you, all like my mates, really. And I'm just doing my flowers, and my flowers are just calming. I'm absorbed in what I'm doing.
Your body language has changed.
I'm relaxed.
As soon as he started handling the flowers.
You know, as soon as I get a cutting snipped. Implement in my hand.
Basically, as soon as he's armed, he's absolutely...
I'm happy. Have scissors, will travel.
I'm from the Doncaster side, speaking my language. As soon as I'm fully armed, I'm perfectly safe.
You know what, I'll tell you a really funny thing about... I drive a transit van because I'm always ugging and tugging and sort of carting stuff about. And then we've got a runabout car, which we call the dog car, because it's a right old dump of a place where the dog gets ferried about in. And then my partner's got a posh Range Rover. But in every car, there's some of these.
Always.
Because you never know what you might need to snip.
A
so every glove compartment's got some of these in. And then sometimes, you know, I'll nip out in the Range Rover and sort of occasionally take the dog out, or I've called to visit friends and I've spotted something. And this gorgeous, like, cream interior then just gets covered in, like, pussy willow catkins and all. And I have no respect for a car. I'm a heathen. You know, any guys who were really into the cars, you'd hate me in your life, because to me it's just a workhorse where you pile things in the back.
Yep,
so there's always pollen stains and little insects crawling about.
And obviously everything that you collect is very legally foraged with permission from the landowner.
Absolutely. Always.
We just need to make sure that you... I did, many years ago, a plant ident at a college I was teaching at, and I couldn't get hold of a piece of monkey puzzle tree. And I drove past one on my way home
one night.
Yeah. And I knocked on the door and nobody answered. So I took that as permission to take a branch from very low down. And I feel guilty 10 years on, to be honest.
Oh.
But
Sarah.
Obviously people from Doncaster have got far more conscience than people from Sheffield. Swiftly moving on. Well, some of this is very nicely foraged with permission from the Great Yorkshire Showground yesterday. And I had a lovely mindfulness moment just wandering about where, well, everybody was sort of doing the builds and the gardens and getting on with it. And there's this wood along the back here, which has been a regular foraging place for many years now. And I went in back in that wood, you know, there's robins and there's wrens and there's the blackbirds singing, there's rabbits running about. And I'm just as happy as Larry, just picking a few branches, cutting a few snippets. And to me, that's just heavenly.
Yes, yeah,
it
perfect.
Doesn't have to be an exotic thing to make an arrangement. No. It can just be anything. No.
So what have you got in there? You've got some
wild cherry.
Wild cherry,
this
yep.
gorgeous wild cherry here. There's a bit of birch, just this gorgeous, viridant lime green on the birch, just breaking into bud there. A little bit of Saracocca, some heather just going in at the moment. So it's just things, anything really. You could do anything with this. And the nice thing about something like this, these bottles here, this group of bottles, you know, it's a sustainable thing because I can use this over and over again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can empty these out, I can wash these out, I can change it. So this could have hosta leaves in a few weeks' time. In autumn, it could just be a mass of dahlias. It could have sweet peas in, you know, it can be anything. It's multifunctional. And what I like about something like this is it looks good on a windowsill.
Yeah.
Because I like the fact that people walk past my cottage where I live on a lane and, you know, people walk past. And I can put something in a windowsill. And I think I'm enjoying it, they're enjoying it as well.
Mm.
Now, they might not be. They might not ever look at my window. But I think it might just cheer somebody's day up that.
Yeah.
And they might think, oh, look at those flowers. That's an uplift. It's a spirit boost,
isn't
it? And
the sunlight coming through as well. You get the colours reflecting
And the reflection
into your room
on the
as
glass.
Well.
Yeah, which is so nice.
Yeah. And you don't need a lot of flowers because they're relatively small jam jars, aren't they?
Yeah, same as I would say, you know, just always start with something like a bit of foliage first because it gives it a bit of volume. It gives it a bit of support lower down. And something I always say when I'm doing a flower arrangement is people often say, Jonathan, you know, you always put that green stuff in first, why'd you do that? And I always say, well, that green stuff, it's like that bit on our person that you don't see, which is your underwear. And it holds everything in place. So, you know, foliage is like the underwear of the flower world. You heard that today at Harrogate.
It's important in the garden though, isn't it, foliage?
Definitely.
Yeah. And the colour green lifts every other colour in a garden, doesn't it?
You imagine
it?
So a garden exactly without greenery.
Exactly.
What's it about? It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know, you're back to that sort of bedding style, aren't you, where it's just flower on flower on flower.
Yeah.
And it's
garden.
A riot of colours, but it kills the eye.
Absolutely.
Whereas greenery is a pause, it's a rest, it's soothing.
Yeah.
It's meditative, isn't
it's
it, in itself?
It's a very calming, healing colour.
Really is.
Really
absolutely is.
Is.
Oh, you've got hellebores coming in. My hellebores have been
charming.
Magnificent this year.
Haven't they been radiant?
And the blossom this year as well. Spring blossom, the cherries. If you do get into Harrogate, the cherry tree walker on the stray is magnificent.
It's glorious.
This year.
You know, we're so boring as gardeners and florists and horticulturalists.
Speak for yourself.
But we say the same thing.
Yeah.
Anybody in my 11 o'clock demonstration this morning, Julie? I know you were there. If you were, what was I talking about? The cherry trees on the stray.
Yeah.
You see, we're so boring because we see these same things and we think, blow me, look at that, I love it. You know, it's stunning.
But that means
stunning.
You survived another year, do you know what I mean? And it's part of that season.
As you get older, Dolly, that's an achievement in itself.
Well, someone said to me the other day, what's your favourite plant? And I said, it depends what day it is.
Yeah.
Because actually, at the start of the year, snowdrops any day. But that's
definitely.
Because they've come through and I think I've made it through another winter. And then each day, at the moment, I've got some peonies, Molly the Witch, the yellow one, opening up.
Fantastic.
That'll be open in 2 days' time. So that'll be my favourite in 2 days' time. But right now, it could be tulips because they've got so much to offer. There's all variety.
Yes.
And seeing that cycle is just part of nature. It's getting us in tune with it. And gardeners are, hopefully,
and optimism.
Better balanced. Yeah,
I think
for sure.
As gardeners, we're very optimistic people because we're always looking for what's coming forward.
Yeah.
And it's that almost primeval knowledge that even in the depths of wintertime, there's something that succeeds.
Yeah.
So, you know, you wait for that first hazel catkin to break out, that first winter aconite to reveal itself. And that is like an uplift. It's like a tonic, isn't it? It's nature saying, look, we're getting through this endurance. Yeah. How many people during sort of the lockdown found the pleasure and the amazing medical health benefits from gardening, from horticulture.
They're all here today, aren't they?
They're all here today. And we've got a new breed of gardeners that we're celebrating because they found that during that time. And during challenging times in people's lives, they do find solace in nature. Nature's calming. By nature, you know, just that word, by nature. We want to be amongst nature.
Mm. We do.
It's what we do. Yeah,
it's a natural thing as well. It's the first thing people did when we were locked down was go outside into the gardens.
Definitely.
And it's such an instinct, isn't it?
It's a real instinct. And I think what is so lovely as well, flowers play a huge part in our lives. And I know this, I can see through faces, there's a lot of floral people here today. And I'm guessing because you're at a flower show on a first day, you're passionate horticulturalists and you love your plants and your flowers. But actually, we shouldn't underestimate that importance of them in our lives. You drive past somewhere and it's planted a roundabout. I'm sometimes so boring, I'll go around it twice. But... But that's not because I've missed my turn off, by the way. But it like lifts you, doesn't it? It cheers you up. You know, just a shop front where they've got something planted outside it, be it a clipped bay, a piece of topiary.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's soothing.
It
greens up our communities.
It does. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you are fully snacked this weekend, aren't you? You are on all the stages every day.
They get the money's worth out of me, you know. I have to say, here at Harrogate Flower Show.
They pay you.
Hey, what's that? Pay me in flowers.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a power-packed 4 days. I actually came here on Monday because I started dressing the crate stage on Monday. And as I always explain to people, you know, with the job, what I do is it can only be done last minute.
Yeah. Mm.
So you're always working to quite tight deadlines and very fresh. And, of course, we've been challenged by the Easter Bank holiday, which has sort of been a bit of a sort of... what shall we say? It's been a nuisance, if we're absolutely honest, because it sort of fell into delivery times and getting things there. So it has made it almost slightly more awkward. But yeah, I'm on the crate stage twice a day each day and down here on the grow stage as well. So I'm just going to do a little reveal there.
There we go.
So you can just see, you know, I'm not purporting to say there's masses of skill in arranging something like that. And just over on Crate, where I've got my trade stand there, you know, we're trying to sort of say to people, just do something simple, you know, strip it back a little bit. If you're really into flowers, you want to learn more, then keep learning more. But equally, if you don't want to learn more, just have things that enable you to just pick a few things from the garden, bring it indoors, give it as a gift, share it, spread that floral love. But I can see that each and every one of you, you know, if you were sat looking at that, far more interesting than watching your television, isn't it? There's nothing on there.
Absolutely.
But it's soothing, it's calming, it's restful. And I just think it's about now, isn't it? It's about springtime coming up, that abundance of colour and the breaking through of all those gorgeous greens.
Jonathan, that's been amazing. I can't believe you've created that as you've chatted to us. Everybody, thank you so much. Jonathan Mosey, our celebrity florist.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, girls. Thank you.
Thank you, Madalena.
Thank you.
Well, that's it. Thanks for listening. That's been another edition of Trials and Tribulations. Now, if you liked it, please subscribe and follow. But until next time, keep it green.